League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here comes the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joe Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Oh, hell yeah. You about to get all stung up.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
I almost forgot to do it.
I was wondering if you were going to. I forgot about it at all. Happy New Year to all of you. Is it still the Hive at 10 a.m.? I'm not sure. But it is the Killer Bees, sort of. Joe George, Jeremy Branham, and then it's also kind of still Paul Gallant, sort of, as Sean Mapes is working today. Who knows what Paul's doing? What is Paul doing right now, Sean?
Sleeping.
I think so, too.
Sleeping.
Or puking.
100. Yes. No.
One of the two.
Or sitting on a bathroom floor. Yes.
Yeah, he's either in the fetal position on the bathroom floor or he is knocked out.
At a 10 a.m., that would be tough. Like, hopefully you would be past that by this point.
I mean,
you know?
He's old, but the thing is Paul still acts like he's 25.
Yeah. How old is Paul?
He's almost 40.
Is he almost 40?
He's got to be closer.
No,
to
40. No.
He's I think he's like in his early 30s or mid-30s.
Yeah, he's 34, 35.
I mean, he's closer ish to 40 than me.
He's close to rounding up to 40.
Yeah, but he's as close to 30 as he is to 40.
True. It's true.
right there in the middle. Houston Texans won a big football game yesterday, defeating the Titans 26-3. They've positioned themselves in a win-and-you're-in game next week against the Colts, which is pretty miraculous that the Texans and the Colts last year were playing with the stakes of the number one pick of the NFL draft, and now they're playing a win and in game to get into the AFC playoffs. Texans 9-7 on the year, chance to get to 10-7 next week. A game that will be in primetime Saturday against the Colts, which is awesome.
CJ Stroud never lost in primetime,
which is not correct
in the NFL.
Yeah, 0-0.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
he's just like you said, Jeremy. Uh-huh. The NIT champion has never won the NBA Finals.
Sure.
CJ Stroud has never lost in primetime.
He's also never won in primetime.
He's never lost.
In the NFL.
Yes.
Yes, he's 0-0 in his NFL career in primetime games. But that game yesterday was big. You know, it was really, it was over before you could blink. The Texans jumped out to that 17-0 lead. They scored on their first two possessions. They get the scoop and score for a touchdown. It was 17-0, and it was over at that point. Like, Levis got hurt. Could Levis even come back from 17 points? It was nice to see, like, a laugher for a change because the Texans have been in a lot of close games. So the fact that they had a laugher was awesome. But that was just a good win for the Houston Texans.
Yeah, it was. And it was impressive that I thought C.J. Stroud looked really good coming back in this game. And the fact that, like, they didn't do anything super challenging, but they didn't have to. Like, they didn't have to push the ball down the field. They just drove it down with ease those first two drives against the Titans. And CJ looked calm, cool, collected, everything you wanted to see from him. He didn't get hit very hard in this game, which is something, like, I know we all were watching. So he looked really good coming back from not playing for 2 weeks, which is a huge positive, but they dog walked him. Like, that was an embarrassing performance for the Tennessee Titans. The fact that, like, Tyer Tart, the guy they cut, was all over the place for the Texans defense, it felt like it was something too.
Yeah, that was a fun victory. I've never heard the dog walk thing.
You never heard that?
I've never heard that phrase.
No. Oh, really?
No, have you heard that phrase, Sean? Yeah, you have heard that, so I guess I'm in the minority here.
Yeah, people get dog walked all the time.
7-1. I didn't know.
Twice a day.
All right. Well, the Titans got dog walked yesterday.
They did.
The defense was dominant, didn't allow the Titans to score a touchdown. That's the definition of dog walk, I think. The offense scored on most of their possessions. That's the definition of dog walk, I think.
Yep.
But it was to me, the biggest takeaway was I felt the game plan was perfect. Like, you mentioned the C.J. Stroud didn't get hit much. In fact, he only took one sack. I don't think he ran the ball at all, which, well, he ran one, but he went out of bounds. So, like, mm-hmm. he didn't even take a hit there. So that was really good to see. The one time he did get sacked, his head did kind of go against the turf. I didn't love that. There was one time where he, like, thought about making a block where I'm like, let's not make a block. There was one time he chased Devin Singletary out of bounds on a 15-yard run. I'm like, what are you doing, C.J. Stroud?
Yes.
We need you. Stop chasing Devin Singletary behind him. Like, he's a blocking fullback.
The block on the double reverse was worse.
I mean, he didn't. Like, he thought about it, but, like, didn't commit to it. Like, he thought about it, and then he's like, I better not.
I think, like, pre-concussion, he tries to, like, lay some wood there.
I do, too. And, like, I don't like that thought. Like, I love that he's tough. I really do. But I don't want him laying blocks. Like, you're the franchise quarterback. We know how important that you are. But I thought the game plan was perfect on both fronts. Like, defensively, I think they went into this game, the Texans, expecting to dog walk the Tennessee Titans. I think they went into the game knowing that they were going to win that game convincingly. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to get overconfident in the NFL, but you could tell the game plan was, okay, let's ease C.J. Stroud back in. Let's run the football a lot. He threw the ball 32 times yesterday and had 213 yards. What does that tell you? It means short passes, quick passes, just trying to get him in the flow of things. They didn't take many deep shots, and sometimes that's what the other team's doing too, and C.J. Stroud talked about it after the game that, you know, they were taking away the deep shots, so we were going underneath. But the game plan offensively, run the football, get the ball out quickly, ease C.J. Stroud back into the, like, into the flow of the game. They had these long drives of like 6 and 7 minutes.
Yep.
They got up by multiple possessions, so it's like, okay, we don't really, like, scoring a touchdown is always the best thing you can do, but whenever you're up by 2-3 scores, it's like, who really cares? Like, just eat the clock, use time of possession. The defense gave up 3 points. D'Amico did his thing too, and D'Amico did it without a lot of the offensive, or without a lot of the defensive line. John Gernard did not play. Malik Collins did not play. Sheldon Rankins had the scoop and score, played less than 50% of the snaps. Mm-hmm. Will Anderson, who had 2 sacks, played 12 plays. He had 2 sacks in 12 plays.
I honestly didn't know that.
Yeah, I looked at it this morning. I was shocked because I knew he was on a pitch count. And, like, they talked about how he's in pitch count.
But that's a big pitch count.
Yeah, I thought it was like, whenever I watched the game, if I had to guess before I looked at it this morning, I would have said like 20, 25 plays. Mm-hmm. Probably closer to 25. He played 12 defensive snaps yesterday, had 2 sacks, and hit the quarterback 3 times. Now, Andre Dillard's a bum. Andre Dillard sucks, and he got benched, and the new left tackle might be worse than Andre Dillard. If I was a Titan fan doing radio in Nashville today, maybe I can talk to John McClain. Like, how are you not begging for new left tackle help in the offseason? Because that left tackle position, whether it was Dillard, whether it was Dillard's understudy, was a turnstile.
I don't know, Jeremy. Maybe
it was like that in the other. It was like that in the first Titan game too, when they had 7 sacks. What they have yesterday, 6. The Texans had 13 sacks ish against the Titans in 2 games. Their offensive line sucks.
Well, maybe they should draft an interior or a tackle in the first round.
Probably should,
like they did last year.
Who'd they draft last year?
They took Peter Skoronski.
Yeah.
They took the kid from Northwestern in the first round. They have him playing guard.
He should. I mean, their left tackle position is brutal.
Wait, Dillard, was he the one that everyone freaked out about because of Titus Howard?
People in Houston wanted Dillard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Eagles, I think it was the Eagles.
The Eagles traded up.
The Eagles traded right before the Texans.
That's right.
And drafted Dillard. And a lot of people lost their minds. Like, what are we doing? What is Bill O'Brien doing? We needed Andre Dillard. And then they drafted Titus Howard.
Thank goodness they didn't get Andre Dillard because he's a bum.
Yeah, he's a bum. Yeah, Titus Howard's better than Andre Dillard.
Yes.
Now, is Titus a first rounder that you should be paying top 5 right tackle money to? Maybe not the conversation we should be having.
It's 2024. Like, let's piss some people off.
It is 2024. I did forget about that. But I thought the game plan, that to me was the biggest takeaway. And I got some pushback on the Twitter whenever I said that Bobby Slowik had a great game plan. Because, you can't stall out in the red zone. I get that. Like, I know you can't stall out in the red zone. But whenever you score on more than half of your offensive possessions, whenever you're eating up the clock 6-7 minutes when you're up by multiple scores, when you're trying to protect C.J. Stroud ahead of the most important game for the Houston Texans since they lost the big lead at Arrowhead a few years ago in the postseason, why would you put anybody at risk, but especially C.J. Stroud at risk? I thought it was the perfect game plan. They executed it perfectly. They won a laugh for going away, and they've positioned themselves where next week they could potentially be a playoff team in D'Amico Ryan's first year in C.J. Stroud's rookie season.
Well, I think the other part of the game plan that stood out for me that I was impressed with was, it feels like, Jeremy, for the first time since week 1, Robert Woods was a major factor in the offense. Like, he was a good player yesterday, and Noah Brown got hurt again. That guy gets dinged up all the time. Like, Nico was obviously very good, but seeing Robert Woods emerge and play much better yesterday than he has pretty much the entire season was just a huge, I think, confidence boost. Like, going into next week, we know what next week means, and I feel better about the Texans offense after yesterday's game, just seeing the way that Singletary and Woods and Brown and Collins and Schultz were playing around CJ. Like, all those questions we had, like, can this Texans offense be viable without Tank Dell? For at least yesterday's game, it made me feel like the answer to that question is yes for the remainder of the season.
No, the Titans suck.
Yes.
Like, the Titans are not a good football team. So,
They're not.
Let that be known. Like, next week's going to be obviously a huge test, chance to get in the playoffs, things like that. How concerned were you with Woods leaving the game? Like, Brown played, I think, 8 snaps.
Yeah.
Woods got hurt. Laremy Tunsil left the game with a groin. Like, a great win. You positioned yourself nicely, but I think the theme of this upcoming week is like watching the injury report, which is always riveting radio. Injury report comes out. Let's take a look.
But
because the stakes are so high this Sunday and the significance of players you have on the injured list, like this is that to me is going to be the thing we're watching all week.
But the biggest problem with it is the thing that you just made a mistake on. It's not Sunday.
Oh, Saturday.
It's Saturday.
Yeah, my bad.
Well, no, but that just makes the injury concerns even worse is that you've got all these guys. They got dinged up, like John Mechie. Like, that kid stinks. I'm sorry. I'm at the point now where, like, you can't avoid it. He's not good. He can't catch. He's not, like, twitchy.
Yeah.
He's just a guy. And he's barely even that. But, like, if those guys are seriously hurt in any way, good luck if it's Nico Collins, John Mechie, and Hutchinson.
I think Nico's fine because he, like, came back in with a hand.
Yeah, Nico's
but, like,
good.
Woods left the game and didn't come back in. So it's like, okay.
I'm hoping that's just because they dog-walked him.
Yeah.
That those three players, Brown, Woods, and Tunsil,
yep,
are fine. And they were just like, hey, like, let's not push this.
Like, when I was tweeting about the Tunsil thing. I was like, hey, just at minimum, hold him out the rest of the game. Because I think he left the game when it was 17-0.
It was pretty early.
It was early, but it was already a three-possession game. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's early, but it's a three-possession game. You can probably win this game without him. You feel really good that you can win this game without him. So I was totally okay with him not coming back into the game. But because he didn't come back in the game, you don't really know the severity of the injury. Same thing with Noah Brown. Same thing with Robert Woods. Nico, you feel good about because he came back in. John Grenard didn't play Sunday. He didn't play yesterday. What is the status of John Grenard? Because I would love to have John Grenard next to Will Anderson, who only played 12 snaps yesterday. Like, what is the status of a Malik Collins? What is the status of a Sheldon Rankins, who played less than half the snaps? Like, there are some significant names that might not play on Saturday night in prime time in Indy.
You're right. That's the biggest question this entire week. It's just how healthy can the Texans get? And part of that, too, is like the 12 snaps for Will Anderson. That's got a triple, right, at a minimum.
Sure.
He's got to be out there almost the entire game.
Yeah, 75%. Let's go 75%.
That's fair. I'll take 75%.
You got to keep them fresh. Like, no defensive lineman plays 100% of the snaps anymore. I feel confident that he'll be there, though, because, look, he plays 12 snaps. I think he would have played more, but the game script and getting up a lot, it's like, why are you going to put Will Anderson out there when you're up by three possessions?
What's the point?
And that's not going to do that.
And that's just what I'm hoping with the other guys as well. We'll find out, I guess, tomorrow. The first injury report when it comes out, hopefully these guys are at least, you know, participating in a minimal effort. Mm-hmm. But as long as they're not all just out, hopefully it'll be okay.
Yeah, I feel like they're minor, but you don't know for sure. 713-780-ESPN. It's a new year edition of the Killer Bees in a different slot with half of us and Sean Mapes producing. We're all on Twitter, though. Sean's at Sean A. Mapes. Joe's at Joe George Radio. I'm at Jeremy Brand. A busy show planned. We're fitting 3 hours into two. Mailbag Monday. We do that each and every Monday. We're not stopping today because it's a holiday show. Hand out some NFL game balls. We do have the Dick Clark special is always fun on New Year's Eve. I'm a big sucker for a New Year countdown, like in anything. Music, top 40, favorite countdowns, and whatever your hobbies are for 2023. Today, we're going to have our top Houston sports moment of 2023 countdown in the 11 o'clock hour. But much more about these Houston Texans. We got into Will Anderson a little bit early. I'm ready to declare something on Will Anderson. Tell you what it is next. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Something else that I'm ready to declare is that Gentle Ben is the absolute best. You already know that, though. I rung in the new year with Gentle Ben. You should have, too. If you didn't, well, 2024, it's a new day. It's time for resolutions. Your New Year's resolution should be more Gentle Ben. I like a good drink at the end of the day, especially at the end of the night. Vodka, gin, bourbon, all in that rotation for me, and Gentle Ben Spirits does it better than anybody else. How? Their revolutionary Percedo technology that eliminates impurities for the cleanest, smoothest spirits you will ever taste. Purification of Gentle Ben is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it, including gluten. That's right. There's no gluten in Gentle Ben, but Gentle Ben isn't going to brag about that one, though, like some other spirits, because all spirits are naturally gluten-free. Try a sip of Gentle Ben, vodka, the gin, the straight bourbon, the cask-strength bourbon, and compare it to what you drink, you will never go back. I've been a Gentle Ben man, as you know, ever since I had that first sip. You get all the flavor with none of the burn. It's so smooth, so clean. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. Look at it at the Toyota Center. If you're going to a Rockets game soon, stop by Ben's Bar inside the Toyota Center. Enjoy some Gentle Ben while you watch your favorite pro basketball team. Look for Gentle Ben at the liquor store on the way home today. Ask for it at your favorite restaurant or bar, or just head to the Gentle Ben tasting room. Or head to GentleBen.com. You can learn more about their incredible story, but you can also order Gentle Ben straight from the website at GentleBen.com. Gentle Ben, the secret ingredient is what's not in it.
ESPN 97.5. Stop being a f***ing baby.
Oh, the signal, it's all staticky.
No stalking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Jay on the Twitch says 2023 Houston sports needed a culture change, and they in fact have. I think it's probably true for two of the big three. It's true with Ime. It's true with D'Amico. Astros shifting to a new manager. You look at some of the college programs, blah, 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 blah. 713-780-ESPN. Will Anderson, I'm ready to make a declaration on Will Anderson. Here was D'Amico Ryan's first, though, yesterday after this impressive, not only is it, I mean, a two-sack game, super impressive. He did it on back-to-back plays. But he had two sacks, and he played 12 defensive snaps. Pretty high ratio there, huh? But here was D'Amico talking about his rookie defensive end afterwards.
Yeah, really proud of Will for him pushing through, right? He's in a lot of pain. He's hurt, but he still, you know, sucked it up and pushed through. And he made a lot of impact plays. Even though he's on a limited snap count, he was still able to affect the quarterback. For him to get two sacks, huge plays for us in the game, right? And just for him to break the rookie record, I know it means a lot to him. That's the type of player Will is. He's an impact player, and you see it instantly, right? You see we've missed him. When he hasn't been there, we've missed him, but you see the production, you see the type of plays that he can make for us. Really proud of him, proud of the season that he's having.
I'm proud, too. Thank you, D'Amico. I'm very proud of Will Anderson. Will Anderson was at the podium, too, afterwards, and like kind of mocked these advanced metrics. He's like, win rate, double team rate, doesn't matter. I got to be able to like get to the quarterback, basically, which I love to hear that because it's been my point all year. Now, Will Anderson, seven sacks after the two yesterday, breaks the Texans' rookie record, and they've had some pretty good defensive ends that started their career here. The declaration that I'm ready to make on Will Anderson is that the Texans got a really good football player. Will Anderson is a really good football player. Like, there's always going to be the question about did the Texans use too much of draft capital to trade up for Will Anderson, and I think that question's going to be fair for the duration of their rookie contracts. I think it's fair for the next 4 to 5 years. But I don't think you can fully grade it or declare one side the winner until their rookie contract is done, plus the fifth-year rookie option, blah, 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 blah. But the declaration you can make about Will Anderson is that the Houston Texans got a really good football player. Seven sacks is a good season, especially for a rookie. Having the rookie record is awesome. He has these seven sacks, by the way, missing two games. And basically, I mean, yesterday he played 12 snaps. It's almost like like it's almost three games that he missed.
Yeah.
Because yesterday he played 12 snaps, almost like missing the entire game. He got hurt in the Jets game, but that one was late, so you can't really like, you know, say that he missed the entirety of that game. But seven sacks in a rookie year is very good. We know how good he is against the run. Will Anderson, declaration I'm making, he is a really good football player no matter how you feel about the draft day trade.
The thing about Will Anderson that is impressive is that it's also, to me, it's really been the second half of the season. And I think it's shown how much he's grown as a football player in year one. And that's why I'm really excited about his future. It's like, what does year two, what does year three look like for him? We keep talking about like adding moves. And right now, yeah, I do feel like a lot of his numbers, he's taking advantage of very bad football players.
Yeah.
But that's football. Like you're not going to play an elite left tackle or right tackle every single week. But like, what does he look like going forward? It seems like he can easily be a 10 sack a year guy. And that, to me, can be a good to a great player. Like, he is going to be a solid player for the next 5 years. He already can see a new contract in his future with this team. Like, he's a long-term piece. Like, that, to me, is why, like, even with the trade, it is a home-run draft pick. Because let's say Jonathan Greenard walks this offseason. Part of the reason why you feel okay about that, if it happens, and not paying Jonathan Greenard $20 million, is because you have Will Anderson. Because, like, he is a high-impact player that can get you 12, 13 sacks a year.
Yeah, I still think you gave up too much. Like, now, Will Anderson's the guy that I wanted the Texans to draft at two. So it's not a knock on Anderson. I feel like the price was extremely high. You paid a quarterback price for a defensive end. And you can start stacking it up, too. I mean, you could have had Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam LaPorta in the 20th-ish pick in next year's draft. Is Will Anderson worth that? I think that's a debate. I think that's a conversation. But the promising thing is you didn't trade all of that for a guy who's been a disappointment. Like, you traded all of that for a guy who's having the best rookie season for a defensive end in Houston Texans history.
You didn't draft already, Walker.
Exactly. You didn't draft who was the kid from Texas Tech, the defensive end that a lot of people were saying the Texans were in love with and they were going to draft. Ended up with the Raiders. Tyree Wilson. Like, you didn't draft Tyree Wilson. So, like, even if you don't like the trade, well, you got a really good football player. And having a really good football player is a really good thing. And I would even argue that you gave up too much. But I still like Will Anderson a lot and think he's a really good player. Now, for him, to me, he's not elite yet. And that's not a knock. He's a rookie. He shouldn't be elite yet. Being elite as a rookie would be incredible. It'd be like C.J. Stroud. For him to take that next step, and I do think he's already a double-digit sack guy. Like, going into next year, I expect him to be a 10-sack guy if he doesn't develop at all. Like, if he doesn't develop a pass, like, more to his bag, put more into his arsenal, he's a 10-sack guy next year without any extra. The part that I like about Will Anderson is, like, the work ethic stuff. Listening to him talk, listening to D'Amico Ryans talk about the work that he puts in. I expect Will Anderson to add to his repertoire. I expect Will Anderson to add more to his game. Because I do, like, he's not a raw player, but I think his pass rushing, like moves are raw. I think he has two moves. I think he's got bull rush. I think he's got speed rush. That's it. Like, watching the Lions play the Cowboys the other day, Hutchinson had that big sack late where he had the spin move around. When do you see Anderson do that? You don't. And it's not a knock on him because he's a rookie. But if he adds that move and a counter to that move in the offseason, he might go from being a 10-sack guy to like a 13, 14-sack guy. And honestly, I expect that from Will Anderson.
Well, I think, he does. It needs to do that to help validate this trade over time. Like, I think the team success will always help the argument. You know, people will, if you want to make the argument that it still gave up too much for the trade, I'll always hear that. I'm always going to be on the other side for the most part. Like, I believe Will Anderson is going to get to a 12, 13 sack a year kind of player. But, like, the team success will help. But you're right. Like, he needs to add one, maybe two things, and he can be an exceptional football player. Because the thing that about him that I love so much, too, is I feel like he has a chance to be everything we saw with Clowney in the run game as well. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think is special about Will Anderson. Is early on in the season, we mostly saw he looked like Clowney. He was great at stopping the run. He was close to getting to the quarterback, but not getting there. If he can be like a mix of what Clowney and Watt were, he can be a superior player. He doesn't ever have to be the heights of J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
But if he can be the heights of Jadeveon Clowney plus a 10, 12 sack guy, he's an absolutely elite football player.
Yeah.
And he's showing that he might be able to be there.
See, I hear what you're saying. For me, it's more from like a production comp.
Sure.
Because I don't see the same player in Anderson and Clowney at all. Like, Clowney was Clowney's a specimen that has unbelievable skill and potential. He didn't reach it because he wasn't really willing to work on it and add to his game. Like, what he stepped into as the NFL is, like, who he was forever. Will Anderson, I don't think, has the skill level of Clowney and, like, the physical attributes of, like, Clowney's huge. Like, Clowney's tall. He's a little bigger than Anderson. But what Anderson has, I think, is motor. He has speed. Mm-hmm. I think he has desire. So it's, like, very different from who Clowney was as a player. Now, from a production standpoint, I agree. Like, Clowney was always very good against the run. Will Anderson, when he stepped foot at NRG, was very good against the run.
Yeah.
His sacks is because he's fast, he's able to get around tackles, or he has a motor where he doesn't quit and he continues to get after the quarterback when the play breaks down, the quarterback abandons the pocket. I want to see some Hutchinson stuff next year. I mean, I'm not saying that this should happen next week. That would be silly. But if he can add like a little Micah Parsons to his game, add a Hutch move to his game where he's spinning around a tackle and like getting through the B gap, like that's where he's going to go from being a 10, 12 sack guy to potentially a 15 sack guy. That's where he's going to go from being already as a rookie, which is really high praise, to already be a really good defensive end in the NFL. But for him to take that really good defensive end to an elite defensive end, he's going to have to add that to his game.
Have you seen enough to where he makes you feel okay if Grenard walks at this point?
See, it's almost two separate conversations to me, because you're going to need two defensive ends.
You
like
are.
I don't want a Will Anderson and then just some warm body on the other side. Like I like the idea of Will Anderson in a rookie contract and then a really stout defensive end on the other side, because Will Anderson's cheap too. Like, why not spend on the other defensive end?
No, I agree.
To pair with Anderson for the duration of Anderson's contract. Like, to me, you shouldn't be looking at Will Anderson in a warm body until Will Anderson's in his fifth year in the league and you have to start really paying him. But while Will Anderson's on a rookie deal, pair him up with a dynamic defensive end and you have like the makings of a really good bookend defensive line that's going to create havoc with quarterbacks.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree. But even if they go the draft route instead and bring in, you know, like one of his old teammates from Alabama, I've seen a lot of times mocked them at 24, whatever the Browns pick ends up being.
Yeah.
I still think like that's a good path. But part of that is just I believe that Anderson, like everything you've seen from Grenard, I think Anderson can give you. And I think you could spread out the money around the defensive line. Because part of it too, I think one thing we've learned from the Texans defense is that when Rankins and Collins and these guys in the middle are balling, Anderson and Grenard eat.
Yeah.
Like it really shows you, I think, this season that when the interior defensive line is playing good for the Texans, it makes life so much easier for Grenard and Anderson. Like, those guys have been some of the most impactful, unsung heroes of the Texans season, I would say.
Yeah, I give credit for Caserio for being able to bring in those guys.
Yeah,
the other guy,
time.
I'm blanking on his name, they got hurt. That was having a really good year, too, in the middle.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember his name.
Yeah, I thought about it earlier this morning, but it slipped my mind. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Mailbag Monday. You can ask the Killer Bees whatever you want to ask. 713-780-3776. What's your question for the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5?
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Pitter patter.
It's a hard life picking stones and pulling teats, but sure as God's got sandals, it beats fighting dudes with treasure trails.
You've got mail. It's Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
Something's in the bag.
Mommy?
What's in the bag?
What's in the box?
Monday. You can ask the Killer Bees whatever you want to ask. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. 713-780-3776. Alex asking us, how was your New Year's celebration?
It was good. It was boring.
I was asleep at 11. So
me and my wife were watching. She never watched How I Met Your Mother.
Really?
So we're watching that. For some reason, she watched the terrible version of
How I Met Your Husband.
How I Met Your Father.
Hillary Duff?
Yeah.
I never saw that.
It was okay. But I was like, how are you watching this
sequel,
and haven't watched the original, which is incredible. Yeah. So
we're
watching that.
I think it's a bit of a reach.
I think it's very good.
I watched How I Met Your Mother. This is a show that I watch.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like one of the top sitcoms, but
yeah,
like, it's pretty good.
Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, like,
seven,
I'll give it a 6, but I feel kind of bad giving it a 6.
Really?
Like, it's between like a 5 and a 6. I'll give it a 6.
But yeah, I mean, it's some, but see,
I was going to say like 7.5.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's high.
See, I think 7.5 too. Because I think the peaks of it, like the slap bet, is some of the funniest.
Who's your favorite character?
Oh, Barney.
Yeah, Barney's my favorite character.
Oh, I liked Jason Segel's character. Marshall.
Oh, he's great.
Oh, he was funny too.
Wait, yeah. We watched like it's like we're like episode 4.
Who was your least favorite?
Ted.
Is he the main guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't remember his name. I didn't like Lily really much either.
Marshall's wife.
But see, yeah, she kind of annoyed me.
But see, yeah, I've loved her since American Pie, so yeah. I just love her.
Her character annoyed me in this one. Yeah, yeah. I give it a 6. You gave it a 7, and yeah. Sean gave it a 7.5.
Yeah.
Man. Okay. All right. 713-780-ESPN. Question for the Killer Bees. What are your New Year's traditions?
I don't know, man. Like, now that we have a 2-year-old, we don't have any. Like, we used to just go drink heavily.
Really?
But now it's like...
My New Year's traditions are that I make resolutions that I do not keep.
Yeah.
I do that each and every year. It's your tradition unlike any other.
I mean, we eat Chinese food typically. My parents said we did that yesterday. They play cards with, like, their friends, and they flew in from Chicago. So I went over there for a little bit, and we had Chinese food. But that's, like, my only real tradition.
I'm going to try to get some Chinese food when I get off today.
And
I
love, also...
I love Chinese food.
Making resolutions that I don't follow through with. I'm going to follow through with mine this year. I've got 2.
Oh, yeah? This is the year?
I got 2 this year.
Where are they?
I'm going to quit dipping. And I've already started. We're 1 day in.
1 day is... Today,
not
the
really.
The first day is the hardest
day. We're 10 hours in. 10 and a half hours in. And I'm going to lose like 50 pounds this year. I need to lose some serious weight.
Yeah, I would like to do that too. I'm going to start next Monday though.
Fair. That's fair. Yeah, well, I don't start.
It's a holiday week. You can't start on a holiday week.
And for me, it depends how the college football stuff works. I cannot do anything
It's
today.
A big day for you.
Yes. Yeah, it is a big day for me and hopefully a big next week for me too.
Yeah, I don't start my resolution till January 5th.
5044. It was strange but cool hearing Jake Asman on the national radio show over the weekend. Happy New Year to the Killer Bees. Keep rocking. What position is the most needed to fix for the Texans?
Safety.
Well, that's a good call.
Because Ward can't stay healthy.
Yeah, see, I kind of feared this at the beginning of the year.
Yeah,
you did. I called him kind of our poor man's Ed Reed. Like, he's a little bit over the hill. He's kind of washed. The injury stuff you can't predict. Jalen Petrie,
so bad.
I wouldn't say that it has been really. I mean, you can't count on him to be a starter next year. Like, he should be your third safety next year, which you can afford if because you still have Petrie on a rookie deal, and maybe you can draft one and you just go young. Ward your third safety. I think that's fine. I think it's a fine way to kind of alleviate the safety woes a bit. I wouldn't say that Petrie's taken a step back. I think we probably overrated a player who showed signs in a rookie year on a bad team. Mm-hmm. And I also think we overrated the tackles. Oh, he's got all these tackles. You don't want your safeties to have lots of tackles. I don't think he's a great fit for D'Amico's scheme in this. But I also will, like, to defend Jalen Petrie here a little bit, I think most of the mistakes that he makes are all kind of mental mistakes, are like not being acclimated to the system. Like, I think once he's comfortable with D'Amico's scheme, like, he got benched two games ago because he gave up a deep pass and, like, came over to, you know, defend the intermediate guy instead of, like, defending the deep route. Amari Cooper got a touchdown, burned one of the bad corners. Like, that stuff is fixable. Like, it isn't lack of skill with Jalen Petrie. So that's the problem. I don't think Petrie's been good this year, but the promising thing about Petrie next year is that these things, I think, are more about scheme, mental things, than, like, physical attributes.
If he is a mediocre or bad year next year, then Texans fans got duped for the second time in 4 years by a player who had too many tackles, and the first one being Zach Cunningham.
I think Cunningham was okay at a 3-4.
And I think Petrie's okay.
Yeah.
Like, there was so many. Everyone saw these tackle numbers and was like, oh my God, like they're after the running backs and the receivers all the time. It doesn't necessarily mean good things when your defensive line is so poor.
See, I'm a numbers guy. Like, I think numbers in sports are fun. I think it's information. I think it's data. I think numbers in football are almost irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Sam Howell was leading the NFL in passing for a good chunk of the season.
And he stinks.
And he throws more interceptions than a good chunk of the other quarterbacks in the NFL. A lot of the numbers are dependent on what else is going around you. Like, Jalen Petrie had tons of sacks. Like, cool. That's good for Jalen Petrie. But it also means your defense sucks. Mm-hmm. So, like, all of these numbers in football, just, like, baseball to me is a sport where you can look at numbers and, like, really know what a player is. Football, you look at numbers and you have no clue. Like, you know, whatever. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. What are your questions for the Killer Bees? 713-780-3776. With Will Anderson basically having JJ's rookie numbers, Will's actually been better in his rookie year than JJ, will Will end up being a Hall of Fame player?
Yes, oh. I'm ready to call it.
It's a big question.
You're willing to say that he's good. I'm willing to say get him ready for the gold jacket.
Start sizing him for the gold jacket. Get his bust ready.
How many snaps did he play yesterday?
Played a dozen snaps.
Dozen snaps. And how many sacks did he have?
He had two.
Do I need to write this down?
So he's on pace.
Once out of every six snaps, he had a sack yesterday.
Yeah. Okay.
So unbelievable.
If he played like 70 snaps, it'd take him two games to break Michael Strahan's.
That's all he needs.
All right. Let's put this all add this to the Bad Take Boulevard.
Document. Can't be a bad. You won't know if it's a bad take until 20 years from now.
Yeah, put it on there. I don't care.
Whichever show is here, we're just like, hey, you have to keep doing Bad Take Boulevard until Will Anderson does or does not get in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Good player. He's a good player now. He's got to add more to his game.
I'm going to say no.
I mean, Watt won three defensive players of the year.
Yeah.
Like,
I'll
do I expect
yes,
Will
CJ.
Anderson to win three defensive players of the year? No, I don't. Like, that's most players don't. There's been, what, two in history that have? Like, so because he has more sacks than Watt in his rookie year, does that translate to him having more defensive players of the year than J.J. Watt? Probably not.
No, but I'll go C.J. Stroud, yes, Hall of Famer. Will Anderson, no.
Yeah, I probably lean that way, too.
Hot takes, 2024. Let's get going.
Zach, do the Texans regret letting Tyrann Mathieu and Reed walk years ago?
No.
Probably not Mathieu.
Matthew's a little over the hill now. Reed played pretty good yesterday. I think Reed had a couple of sacks.
He's a good
mixing
player.
It up.
I wish they would have kept him, but he was done with Jack Easterby era Texans.
Yeah, previous regime. I can't really put a whole lot of that on the current regime for the Texans.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to have Reed. I think Reed's better than Petrie.
Yes.
But he also costs more than Petrie because he's on his first real contract. 713-780-ESPN. Would y'all rather have Astros Twitter or Texans Twitter be mad at you?
Texans Twitter.
Okay, why is that?
They're not as unhinged as Astros Twitter.
So you'd rather have them be mad at you than Astros
I don't think
Twitter.
Texans Twitter would get someone to quit their job.
That happened with Astros
oh,
Twitter?
Oh, she didn't quit her job. She's back now.
She is back now.
Quit social media.
Yeah, she quit social media.
A brief for the conclusion of the 2023 calendar year.
And her
year.
Mentions are so brutal.
Are
sometimes.
They? Yeah,
she's tweeting out photos of like her brother. It's just like they're still too far comments.
Too far?
Yeah. So I would say even though
Texans Twitter's they more.
They embarrassed that moron Tennessee fan that liked to say the F word yesterday. That guy, first of all, sucks. But they ruined him. So did the Texans.
I feel like Texans Twitter's more spread out. Like, Texans Twitter, here's a really weird analogy. Like, comparing Twitter communities to, like, the geography of a city. It actually might be like the topography of a city. Texans Twitter is kind of like the city of Houston.
Okay.
Where it's super spread out. Like you have tons, like you have so many suburbs that count as the greater Houston area, from Katy all the way to the Woodlands. Like, do
hills.
You want to count Baytown? Not a lot of hills. You can go south to Galveston that can be the greater Houston area. Mm. So it's very, very spread out. Where I feel like Astros Twitter is very, very tight. Like a big city in a very tight area.
Mm.
Kind of New York-y, where you have all these people that are very, very tight. And I think sometimes that tightness leads to what you're talking about, more vitriol.
Yeah.
I love this take.
What do you think about that comparison?
That was
decent comparison?
I didn't think the word topography would be
said
on today's show.
This is a strong start to 2024 for us.
Topography might not have been used correctly.
Not really.
No, I think you did okay.
But I was talking more about like the spread of the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, the hills. There's more ebbs and flows.
Well,
there's not really ebbs and flows in New York.
No.
And there's none in Houston.
No.
So you know what you're going to get. I would take Astros Twitter being mad at me because I like the angst more. It gives us our Friday segment at the end of every week.
Yeah. I like that.
I find humor in it.
Yeah, I think it'd be funnier if Astros Twitter was mad at me for whatever reason. It's also funny to imagine, like, what would I have to do? Well, probably not much.
I tried.
Not much.
But not much.
I've made Texans Twitter mad.
I was going to say, have someone who's gotten
I've made
a lot
Texans,
of people mad
I'm,
on Twitter.
I've made Texans Twitter mad with the draft day thing.
You make Texans players mad.
That is true.
Like that.
I've never.
60% of the offensive line
I've
mad
never experienced something like that.
It's really bizarre.
Very minor, trivial takes lead to the Texans offensive line getting mad at me.
Like,
bizarre.
I still think the weirdest one, honestly, was Grenard. when you tweeted out that about how people were giving too much credit to Will Anderson and not enough to Jonathan Greenard.
Yeah.
And then he liked the tweet, but then unliked it.
He like retweeted it.
Oh, he retweeted
it. He did both. He liked and retweeted it. No, and then he actually got in my comments the other day, too, because it was very similar. Very similar. And Greenard's like, yeah. So, like, Greenard likes me. The defense likes me. The offense, not so much, I guess, unless you're Case. Go
I'm sure CJ likes you.
I know I've made Astros Twitter mad, but I don't remember what, why, or how.
You probably just said one time, like, you know, shouldn't have pitched it there, and then what they get mad at you.
What did your mention look like?
Astros Twitter usually likes me.
Yeah, because you were, what's wrong with Dusty's lineup?
They kind of like me.
Because, like, that's, like, in your tweet that you just did every day for the lineup is, like, in line with Astros Twitter hating Dusty Baker.
Yeah. I think I'm going to carry it over with Espada. I'm going to carry it over with Espada. It's good content.
He has to play his way off the...
Should we say what's wrong with Espada's lineup or what's wrong with Joe's lineup?
Joe's lineup, because some people would think you're talking about Joe George.
Yeah. People will just say Paul Gallant.
But the problem there is they might say 3-6.
Yeah. Yeah. We're opening ourselves for a lot of criticism if we do
we
that.
We are, yeah. I think I might say it. That convinced me to go Espada. All right, 713-780-ESPN. That's it for Mailbag Monday. We see you there, Robert. Also, well, great C.J. Stroud, too. We do this each and every Monday with the rookie quarterback. Give him a golf grade. We also have been doing the boxing grade, comparing him to the other quarterback as well. C.J. Stroud, what'd you think of his performance yesterday? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Planted Unicorn Hay.
The prettiest shade of pink I've ever seen.
Welcome back, Houston. It's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, each and every Monday, we grade C.J. Stroud. Joe George in for Blank. I'm Branham. Killer Bees in for Paul. Connor and Beard will be here at their normal time, 12 to 3, and then we'll be carrying the college football playoffs coming up later, which Sean and I might be...
Hook 'em.
Beefing a little bit later. I'm rooting for Michigan and Washington. That's where my allegiance lies, which I hate rooting for a Harbaugh. I hate the Harbaughs.
Really?
Could be his last game in college football.
Yeah, I've seen that. I don't think the NFL wants Harbaugh.
I don't think they want him bad enough. Because you remember the story with the Vikings job where
he leaked his name.
Well, and it was on National Signing Day, and he thought it was, hey, let me go to the facility and accept the job. But it was an actual job interview.
Yeah.
And he was like, nah, don't want it.
Yeah, I think that he leaks his own name to try to build up his own like momentum to be an NFL head coach, and no one wants him. And I think that's like the latest deal with his agent, like an NFL agent. Like, he's desperate to get into the NFL. I don't think the NFL wants him. Maybe this will be the year. I don't know, man.
I think that this is the year. If there's... How many openings do we have right now? Three?
See, I think there's going to be less openings than we think.
Chicago's not opening.
Which is good for Slowick. And they're saying that, who is the other one that's not opening?
Atlanta.
No, there's another one, too.
There's Chicago.
New York. The Jets.
The Jets are solid. I think there was another one, though.
Yeah.
Yesterday, but I can't remember. I can't remember what it was. Oh, Saints with Dennis Allen. They said they expect Dennis Allen back, which is like, cool, great, thank you.
All these are so depressing.
Yeah.
We're bringing our guy back. No offense, Matt Eberflus, but for like his entire tenure before the last 3 weeks, I feel like Joe's won him fired.
I know. Scandal.
I kind of want, it's got to be all or nothing. It's kind of been my philosophy.
Oh, okay.
If Eberflus stays, Fields has to stay.
I could see that. I mean, I think that they probably deserve it now because they've been playing better.
Well, they've done this. They do this every... They're a bad organization, okay? They did this with John Fox. They drafted Mitch Trubisky, but they kept John Fox. Then after a year of Mitch, they fired Fox. They did this with Fields.
Mm-hmm.
They kept Nagy with Fields for a year. Then they fired Nagy. I'm tired of this cycle. Like, if you're going to draft a quarterback, you got to fire the coach.
Interesting thing is they clinched the number one pick. So, like, what do you do there?
Keep Fields.
Do you rest your starters?
Fields, but what do you do with the pick?
Trade it to number three.
Trade down like they
did
last
year. Because the way the draft is setting up is perfect for them if you want to take Marvin Harrison. With Arizona's win, now you have Washington and New England picks 2 and 3. So you trade the 1 to 3 for New England.
See, I think they might just keep one and just draft Harrison.
Cool.
I really do.
I
don't think they're going to risk it.
I think, you run the risk of getting, not like too cute, like Marvin Harrison won't be there, but it's like, at a certain point, you're just trading down just to get like the extra like third round pick.
But yeah. What if he's not there? What if they go? What if somebody falls out? What if everybody falls out of love with Drake May? And you go Caleb Williams one, and then whoever's there, I don't know who's going to be their number two. I haven't looked at it closely today, but they don't need quarterback. And it's like, oh, let's just take Marvin Harrison.
It's Washington. Yeah. It's Washington, New England.
Or even like New England.
They need quarterbacks.
Even New England, they need a quarterback, but it's like, do you want to be in the business of like, let me try to get in the brain space of Bill Belichick, what he's planning.
Well, what's so funny is, he'll likely be a coach of one of those two teams.
Mm. Oh, yeah. He'll
either be Washington or New England.
I was penciling in Bill Belichick for being the Patriots guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do. There's some thoughts he might stay.
Have not gotten the Adam Schefter report of he is keeping his job for 2024.
There was one theory out there where he and Kraft agree that he stays, but they hire like a legit general manager and they take away like his roster control.
I mean, that's not a terrible decision.
No, I don't think so either.
Casario coming home?
Ooh, that would suck.
That would suck.
I don't want Casario coming home. No, I don't want that. I don't want that at all. That's interesting.
That's something I've just, been had in the back of my head.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
I don't think so.
Think back to the draft. Like, now, Mike Lombardi.
Well, which part of it?
Often wrong.
The Casario part or the Belichick
Casario part?
See, I don't think so. Like, Casario's got his coach. He's got his quarterback. Why would you go to a place where you have, like, the black cloud of Bill Belichick and then not having a quarterback? I haven't heard those rumors.
No, remember when Mike Lombardi said that after the draft, Nick Casario was going to get fired?
And he had to do the press conference where he's like, I'm not Leo. He basically did the Leo DiCaprio one.
No, for sure. I doubt it, but it wouldn't stun me. Like, if he was like, I'm going home to fix the Patriots.
I don't know why a GM would do that.
He's a Patriots guy.
But why would you leave
a Patriots
guy. CJ Stroud for Bailey Zappi and whoever you're picking at number two or three?
What if he likes Caleb Williams more than CJ Stroud?
What if he likes D'Amico Ryans more than Bill Belichick?
He
wouldn't like D'Amico Ryans more than Bill Belichick?
Maybe Casario. Because Casario worked there for 20 years.
He's a robot.
He worked there his entire life. So
I don't see it, man. I just don't.
I hope not.
I think it'd be ignorant on Nick Casario's side. Like, he could be fired in 2 or 3 years.
I mean, honestly, if he left, I would say I would be glad he left because it would show me he has poor judgment. Like, if he left the Texans
he shouldn't be the GM.
like, you know what? Good. Because, like, if those are the life decisions you're making,
you're
I don't want you here.
You're nuts. You're nuts. The Texans are going to win 9 games, maybe 10, maybe make the playoffs.
I know.
Nick Casario is a big part of that. And you want turnover?
I know.
What's wrong with you?
I don't.
He wants it if Casario is so stupid as to leave the Texans, then it becomes he is too stupid to be a GM.
Yeah.
No.
I doubt that will happen, but it also wouldn't shock me. We've seen crazy things happen.
I've had so much fun with the Bill Belichick hypotheticals this year.
Especially with Paul, I bet.
Yeah, oh.
That makes it even better.
I put him on every team imaginable. I'm just like, picture him in the hoodie.
Okay. So where do you think he ends up? Where's your prediction of where he ends up?
I think Washington, ultimately. Like, if I were to like have to bet it, I'd put it at Washington, maybe the Raiders.
Raiders is interesting.
Because Mark Davis has like had a history of like he wants to do the John Gruden
I think that's Harbaugh.
Harbaugh where?
It could be Harbaugh.
Raiders.
Because
it should be Antonio Pierce.
I think it's going to be Pierce.
But they just did this. They fired John Gruden.
But I think that's why.
But they made the playoffs with Rich Bisaccia.
I think that's why it's going to be Pierce. He doesn't want to make the same mistake twice.
You were out when Joel and I talked about this. Did you see the report from the Las Vegas Review-Journal that they think that to squash the lawsuit, the NFL might allow them to rehire Gruden?
Well, I mean, the NFL has no say on who you can hire as a head coach unless he's on like the commissioner's exempt list, which Gruden's not, right?
But he got fired by the NFL.
Yeah, I think so.
But like, so I think like the NFL would have to give the Raiders the all clear.
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time a coach tried to sue the NFL and then got hired.
It's true.
Brian Flores.
It's true. Will he get a head coaching job?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's grade CJ Stroud on the other side. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the only sports radio on FM in Houston.
FM.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey there, are you sitting down? Good, because Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here and you can shop it right from your couch. It's Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale, and it's on now. Right now, you can score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, score amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals. And get it all with fast and free shipping on everything. Yep, even the big stuff. Right to your door. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer. And did we mention they only last 5 days? So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the season before it fizzles out. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale now through July 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.